You ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
We got a good word today, and then we're going to minister to some people. I believe God wants to touch some lives today. This morning, I want to talk about change the way you think. Change the way you think. This is important because we don't think right. We need to start learning to think the way God thinks. It's not the way we think, the way God thinks. And we've got to change our thinking. And the Lord really began, you know, we have been talking a lot about seeing the glory of God and having revival and breakthrough. And I was thinking about that this past week. And I just felt like God was challenging me. You're going to have to change the way you think. You got to think differently. And you got to have a different mindset. I want to read a passage of scripture out of the book of Luke. This morning, Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. And this verse says, if you enter a town, Jesus was giving instructions to his disciples. And he said, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick. Amen? Heal the sick. Why is that important in the kingdom of God? Healing the sick is a demonstration of the love of God. It's a demonstration of the power of God, but it's also a demonstration of the love of God. It's one thing to stand up there and tell people you love them. It's another thing when you show them. It's another thing when they see the evidence of God's power. And that's what healing does. It is a releasing of the love of God, a demonstration of the love and the power of God. When they lowered the man through the roof and Jesus looked at him and said, sir, I forgive you all your sins. And they scoffed at Jesus. And they scoffed at him for saying, how dare he forgive someone's sins? And Jesus said, okay, let me ask you guys a question. Which is easier to say? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? Amen? I mean, anybody can say your sins are forgiven. But to show you, look at this, but to show you I mean what I say, and to show you I have the power behind what I say, he turned to the man and he said, rise and walk and take your bed and you're healed. Amen? And the Bible says immediately the man was made whole. And Jesus demonstrated that love that he was showing through forgiveness. He also showed that I have the power to do it. This is what God wants us. God wants a demonstration. And God wants to demonstrate the power of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for your word today. I just ask you to bless lives and to change lives and to pour yourself out on your people today. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. In this verse we just read, it's real important for you to see. You know what he's saying here? The kingdom of God is here. He said, this is your message. Go and tell people that the kingdom of God is around you. Go and tell people that the kingdom of God is near. Go and tell people that the kingdom of God is here. And he was really trying to get his disciples to get a hold of this. I got to tell you, they're about to be released into ministry and they hadn't totally got a hold of this yet either. And Jesus wanted them to see that the kingdom of God was here. And they probably looked around and thought, yeah, where? I mean, you know, where exactly, Jesus? I'm not sure that I see it. And that was the problem. The kingdom of God is here. That's something you have to take by faith. How many of you know the kingdom of God is here? Amen. The kingdom of God is here. But we've got to know that, not just here, but in here. That's something. And that's what I felt the Lord impressing on me. We've got to know this. Not just give an intellectual assent to it. We've got to know it. Folks, it's one thing to know something. It's another thing to know something. Amen? And I think a lot of times we know it. Yeah, I know that. Did you know Jesus? Yeah, I know he loves me. Did you know? Yeah, I know. But do we know it? Amen? Do we know it? You know, down in your knower. I mean, it's just something I know. Hallelujah. You will not see this with the natural eye. Let's look at our next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, this is what the scripture mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You cannot with your natural eye, with your ear, and with your mind imagine, comprehend what God has prepared for those who love him. Well, how then will I ever know? How will I ever comprehend? What were we talking about? We were talking about knowing. Amen? Say knowing. Right, we're talking about knowing. Then how will I know? I can't know with my eye. It's not what you see. It's not what you hear. It's not what you think. It's not what you have in your mind. Then how will I ever know? Well, he tells you in the next verse. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. These things are revealed by the Spirit of God. It takes faith to see into the kingdom of God. It takes faith to know the kingdom of God is here. And you have to know it. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. How many of you want to know the deep secrets of God? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God hides things. And it's in the heart of a king to search it out. The Bible says we have been made priests and kings. Say, I'm a priest and a king. You are a priest and a king. Now see, y'all didn't say that with a lot of conviction. I heard, I'm a priest and a king. Maybe, sort of. You are priests and kings. Say it again. I am a priest and a king in the household of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's in the heart of a king to search out the secrets of God. That God puts in the heart of his kings the desire to search out the deep things and to know the deep secrets of God. See, this is what I'm talking about. You'll hear that verse, we have been made kings and priests in the household of God, in the kingdom of God. He has appointed us as kings and priests. But do you know it? See? And we'll say it, but a lot of times we don't know it. And that's why we have to change our thinking. Let's look at another verse. I'm throwing a lot of verses at you this morning, but I want you to see this verse in Philippians. And this is important that you understand this. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. Amen? Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus. Let's say this another way. We need to start thinking like Jesus. Amen? That's what that verse means. You got to start thinking like Jesus. Y'all don't get quiet on me now. I need some amens this morning. You got to start thinking like Jesus. You got to think like Jesus. I don't always think like Jesus. I'm going to be the first to admit it. Sometimes I think like Glenn. And when I think like Glenn, I get in trouble. You know, when I think like Glenn, I have doubts. When I think like Glenn, I have fears. When I think like Glenn, I have confusion. When I think like Glenn, it gets foggy sometimes. But I have to understand that I have to start thinking like Jesus. I've got to start seeing like Jesus. Jesus got so exasperated with his disciples because they were so limited in their thinking and in their seeing and in their vision. And I think it just, if you want to be honest, I think sometimes it just drove him nuts. I mean, I see, when I read the Bible, I don't know if you guys are like, but I hear emotion. And I can hear things. I can see things. And I see Jesus rolling his eyes a lot. Amen? Because I think God does an eye roll with us every once in a while. You know? Can't you just see God going, really? Really? You're going to think that way? You're going, I mean, you know? And I think Jesus did that with his disciples all the time. You can hear it when you read things. You can just see him going, really? You know, when he says things like, how long have I been with you guys? And you hadn't got this yet? You don't think there wasn't an eye roll right there? Because he wants us to start thinking the way he thinks. Let's look at another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Glenn, how can I have the mind of Jesus? How can I think like Jesus? Oh, let me show you something really good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can think like the Lord? Isn't that what we just asked? Isn't that what we just said? You got to start thinking like Jesus. And then he says, well, who can think like the Lord? Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who can think that way? Who knows enough to teach him? How can we know? How can we know? I remember what we said earlier, you need to know. How can we know? How can we think like God? But look at the next line. But we do understand these things. Whew. Man, there ought to have been an amen there. Somebody should have been doing cartwheels down the aisle. You know, that should have stirred somebody's spirit. What did he just say? But we do understand these things. Whew. Y'all hadn't got it yet. I'm telling you. Y'all just hadn't got it. Look at what he's saying. How can we think like God? How can we know? How can we know? But we do. We do understand these things. How? For we have the mind of Christ. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. When did I get the mind of Christ? When the Holy Spirit moved in? When the Holy Ghost came aboard? When God started filling you up with the anointing? You received the mind of Christ. You received the ability to know. You received the ability to understand. You received the ability to think like God thinks. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, church. Hallelujah. Guys, listen to me. You are not who you used to be. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. We have been made new creatures in Christ. I am not who I used to be. I now have the mind of Christ. I can think like God thinks. Wow. Let me show you three quick things and then I'm gonna get out of the way and let God do something that I know he wants to do. Real quick, you got to change the way you see. You have to change the way you see things. You are looking with limited vision. You're not seeing the whole picture. You're not understanding. What you see is a lie. When you see cancer, when you see disease, when you see sickness, when you see defeat, when you see despair, when you see anxiety, when you see fear, when you see the enemy, you're seeing a lie. That's not what Jesus saw. That's not what Jesus saw. When Jesus saw blind people, he saw healing. He saw open sight. He saw open eyes. He saw differently. This is what hinders us. How many times have we seen something and we instantly go into despair? We instantly go into fear. We instantly go into anxiety. In one moment, we saw something and it gripped us. We're allowing our vision to affect how we think. And we're moved by what we see. And the Bible says we're not supposed to be moved by what we see. Let me tell you something. You will never grow beyond your vision. You will never grow beyond your limited sight. We have got to start seeing the way God sees. I want us to start seeing healing around these altars. I want us to start seeing it. I want us to start seeing it. I want to start seeing blinded eyes open. Start seeing deaf ears unstopped. In your vision, in your prayer, would start seeing it. That's the first thing you got to do, is to start seeing it. And let God start to change things. But you have to envision it. You don't like where you're at in life. Start seeing yourself somewhere better. You don't like your job. You don't start seeing yourself better. Start seeing yourself in a better situation. Start seeing yourself making more money. Start seeing yourself being blessed. Start seeing yourself prospering. You got to start seeing it though. You got to start seeing yourself in a better situation. Church, I'm telling you a truth here. If you don't envision it, if you sit there and tell yourself, I can't be that, I can't achieve that, I can't, then guess what? You never will. Because you know why? Because you cannot see it. You cannot see yourself in that situation. And if you cannot see yourself in that situation, you will never get there. You have limited vision and you cannot grow beyond your vision. Number two, change the way you talk. We have got to get out of this gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. I mean, there are some churches that open up with that song. It's like a theme song, you know. I remember when I was a kid, they used to sing, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. And you'd be so depressed by the time you got through singing that. Come on, church. I'm not saying you don't tell God your troubles. That's not my point. But God hasn't called us to focus on that garbage. God hasn't called us to wallow in that gutter. God's called us to walk beyond that and start envisioning something better. Your speech should be governed by the Spirit of God, because that's what you're starting to see. And not how you feel or what you see. The way you talk should be governed by the Spirit of God. Listen to this. God is a God that calls those things that be not. I want to say that again. God is a God who calls those things that be not as though they were. In other words, God, you know what that means? God is seeing something you don't see. You got to see this. God knows something you don't know, and he's talking like it. He came to a man named Abram who didn't have any kids. His wife was barren. And he said, Abram, I'm going to change your name. And he said, well, what are you going to change it to? I'm going to call you Abraham. Abraham means a father of multitudes. Glory to God. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to call you Abraham. So you go tell your relatives and you go tell your cousins and you go tell everybody you've got a new name and your new name is Abraham. And when everybody starts talking to you, they're going to say, hey, father of multitudes, would you let me talk to you for a minute? Hello, father of multitudes. How are you today? Are you doing okay, father of multitudes? And they started speaking that over him. Father of multitudes, father of multitudes. You know why God changed his name to that? God saw something he didn't see. God knew something he didn't know. And he started, God called those things that be not as though they were. Amen. A man by the name of Jacob. You know what Jacob means? Liar. Deceiver. Supplanter. And somebody here named Jacob? Jacob means, you know what Jacob was? He was a con man. He cheated people. He spent his whole life cheating people. That's all he ever did. But listen to me. And this is for every one of you here. God saw something different. I love this. God saw something different. God knew something different. You know what God saw? God saw a prince. I said God saw a prince. That ain't what the world saw. But folks, I don't care what the world sees in you. And I don't care what the world thinks you are. I don't even care what the other people sitting close to you may think. You know what matters? What God thinks. What God thinks. And when Jacob was wrestling with the Lord, and he said, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. And Jacob, Jacob had that revelatory moment with God, and God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change your name. And from now on, you're going to be called Israel, which means Prince of God. I'm going to change who you are and what you are because I see a prince. You're not a con man anymore. You're not a cheat anymore. Folks, we are not who we used to be. Amen. Change the way you think. Change the way you see. Change the way you talk and change the way you think. I'm going to wrap this up. Nicodemus came to Jesus. And Nicodemus said, let me tell you who Nicodemus was. Nicodemus was one of the leaders of Israel. He was a teacher. He was a wise man. And he came to Jesus and he said, he saw. I've got to tell you what I see, how I see this. Nicodemus saw something. He saw a depth. He saw something in Jesus that just washed away the shallowness of his religion. It was like, it was so cold and so dead and so lifeless. And he knew the letters and he knew the scriptures and he knew he could quote. And he was a learned man, but he saw something in Jesus. He saw the life and the power of the Word of God. And he said, I want to enter into that. What must I do? What does somebody like me have to do to get to where you are? How many of you want to get to where Jesus is? And he said, Nicodemus, you're going to have to be born again. Now in the Greek, that literally means you're going to have to change the way you think. You're looking at this all wrong, my friend. You're going to have to change the way you think. And Nicodemus didn't even understand what Jesus was telling him. He said, well, how can I be born again? I mean, how can a man reenter his mother's womb? Can you do it over? And Jesus said, oh, Nicodemus, this is one of those roll your eye moments. And he said, Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh. If you could reenter your mother's womb and do it again, you wouldn't be any different. If you could do it 100 times, you'd still be what you are. You have to be born of the Spirit. Amen. You got to enter into the realm of the Spirit. You got to start seeing with Spirit eyes. You got to start seeing different. And Nicodemus standing there. And then finally Jesus says, oh, Nicodemus, how is it that being a leader of Israel, you don't know these things? You know what I hear in that? Nicodemus should have known this. He should have seen it, but he didn't. And Jesus is so, this is one of those, I hear exasperation in that statement. I just hear exasperation from the heart of God. Why do you not know this? Folks, we've been sitting in church our whole lives. How much longer? It's time we entered into the kingdom. It's time we had a kingdom. More kingdom thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to stand together.